If you spend any time at all on your computer or maybe your tablet or your smartphone, you know that upgrades are kind of a fact of life. It can be scary to install a major reworking of hardware or software without knowing how well it's going to work after all. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Peter Green is an independent computer consultant, provides great information and resources at infostar.com, and he comes by once a month to talk with us about technology and personal computers. And Peter, great to see you as always.
Great to be here, Larry.
We have some things to talk about, I think, relating to updates and upgrades of our computers, our tablets, our smartphones. Is there a difference between an update and an upgrade?
An upgrade would be between versions.
Okay.
And that really depends on the owner of the software going from 10 to 11. An update, a perfect example would be an upgrade from iOS 6 point whatever to the recent 7.
Yeah.
An update would be what they just issued after two or three days after you do the upgrade.
Okay.
They came out with an update that fixed a couple of bugs.
Okay.
So that would be a perfect example of an update.
Do you always install the suggested upgrades?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. And we could go back, probably 15 years. I remember someone calling in and us talking about updating Windows, probably XP at the time. And someone said, well, I always apply them. And my opinion was, nah, I don't always apply them. I kind of wait and see what's going on. And I had one instance where, and we talked about this, my son called me from Whitewater and said, Dad, my computer doesn't work. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I applied this update and it just reboots and it doesn't work. And it turned out that there was a known issue with the update after it came out that caused his system to basically no longer work. So, applying them right away.
Better to wait a little bit, maybe.
I always have a little bit of a wait and see approach, but, the iOS 7 kind of intrigued me with the iPhone and the iPad because I have Apple products and I have Windows products. So I was like, all right, I'm going to be brave. And to be honest with you, my going through the updates and sharing this with people, be aware that you need to make sure your devices are backed up, because I use the word bricking, and it's not something I invented, but it's something that came of the industry in which a smart device gets rendered useless because of an update or an upgrade, and it gets bricked. It means you can basically throw it, or it's the weight of a brick. No matter what you choose, it doesn't work. And you have to restore it. And the act of restoring it back to factory settings and then restoring a backup of what you had I have never had a full restore of a backup to my liking of a smartphone. So whether or not you get all your contacts back, but you don't get all your apps reinstalled, or your music is not the same, or your pictures, or, I'm just saying that, you need to be really aware of your backups. And I've talked about this before. Love, think it's great how they do their Time Machine backup. But when it comes to the iDevices, I think they need to go back to school and talk to each other within their own building, within their own company, because it's not as intuitive. Mm-hmm. And it's too much embedded in the iTunes product. And my feeling is it's my data. It's not their data.
Yeah.
Let me be in control and make sure I feel comfortable about how my data is being backed up. And there are products out there that you can go out and purchase, but Time Machine is part of Apple's OS X. Why does it need to be not so intuitive? Because you can go to Time Machine, you can drill down to anything on the drive and go back in time.
Yeah,
and get whatever you need, but you can't. It's harder on a smart device. Now, my iPhone came through fine. My iPad got bricked, and I restored two separate backups from two different machines. But again, it didn't restore it to my liking. So, just that's a word of caution. And as far as Windows 8 coming out with 8.1, they have a beta program. You can participate in that if you like, and give them feedback. And just be aware that, you know, they basically are telling you you're doing it under, you know, your own guidance and risks. And they're appreciative of that because there's so many users out there. Or you can, you know, wait.
A beta is just a testing.
It will be a million plus users. It's a beta testing group to just check out the software and see how it works and what the improvements are.
I've got we have a couple of iPads. One of them is an old iPad, and it's you can't even update it anymore.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You have to qualify your devices for updates and whether or not, you know, they're worthy of being able to have it applied, because you could go through all this work and
there
get
you
nothing.
Said and so in terms of that, sometimes that iPad is really it's now useful for what we have on it. There's some games on it and a few things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I needed to do some higher math or something, I could do that. But
or
frankly,
reading books or playing games.
Yeah, you know, pretty much.
You know, Scrabble's a great game on the tablet.
But really, you know, if you want the new things, you got to go. There comes a time when you're going to have to replace.
Right. And, you know, the other benefit of keeping up with the operating system, and again, it's improvements that they've made. It's improvements that people have asked for. When I showed my iOS 7 on the phone to some family members that are using Android devices, they're like, oh, so you guys kind of got up to us? So I was like, oh, okay, you know. Now I'm with the rest of the crowd.
Well, Apple did so much in the way of sparking.
But
I guess I wouldn't say that Apple would hold a backseat to anybody.
No, but I gave you an article that came out within a couple of days about the iPhone iOS. Yeah. So, well, not the iPhone, but the iOS 7, because it also applies to the iPad and their smart devices, iTouch as well. About different issues with it and certain things that are battery drains or problems with connecting with Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. So if you have issues with your phone, one thing is make sure you reboot it. You know, shut it down and turn it back on, because that will cure a lot of problems. Number two, if you're logged in to notifications from all the different things that you've installed, you're going to get major battery drain in the background for things, you know, trying to hook up with you. So, you know, go online and look for some of these articles. You'll find them. They're out there. Digitaltrends.com is a good site. But they're out there, and there are people that have done their due diligence on these updates and things that you can make changes in the settings to make your devices and your computers perform better after the updates or upgrades have been applied.
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today, talking about your computers. If you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, post a question or comment there. Jared in Fitchburg has a question for you. Jared, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
I recently bought a computer from UW Swap, a desktop. It's a Lenovo, and it comes with the right to install Windows 7, which I did. And what I find is, and it's just me, I'm the only one using the computer, there's lots of folders I get access is denied to, and I've tried noodling around with administrative rights. I can't figure out why. Can you give me any help on that?
So what kind of folders? I mean, what are they called?
Well, here's one that says Start Menu. I can't get into that one. One that says My Documents. In fact, it's odd. There's two of them that say My Documents. But one of them I can get into, and the other one I can't get into.
Now, did they redo the system for you?
No. I had to put in a disk and then go online, and it downloaded the whole thing after keying in the codes that they give you, because that was part of the sale.
Did it go through a reinstall at all?
Well, I think that was an install, is what I think it was.
You mean like unlocking an installation?
Right.
Well, I think have you tried to right mouse click on any of the folders?
Yeah, I have. Let's see. Right. And I can go into properties, and I can go into security, but there's things I can't do when I'm in securities.
It sounds to me there are certain things that were inadvertently turned off in the operating system. I can't tell you specifically where, but I can tell you this may or may not help, but you probably want to do some Google searching on it if you have access to another computer. There's there's one thing you could type in after you click on start is to type in services.msc, and there might be some things that you need to turn on that are disabled. I can't tell you specifically which, but when you do the services.msc, that is basically talking to the controls within the operating system. So, for example, the start menu would probably be accessible from that as far as controlling it. There's so many different things in there, and they're either like automatically started or they're manually started, or you disable them or they're shut off or stopped, and that's one area that control them. Editing the registry is another area, but again, it's something you're probably going to have to check online and see specifically which one you're going to have to turn on. I'm surprised that they gave you a system that has like two My Documents.
Yeah, I am too.
And that they're protected, because it should have just been completely clean and none of this stuff would be an issue.
Yeah.
In fact, you may want to call them and tell them that you're having this kind of difficulty with it, and what they might suggest is, you know, to either bring it back, or they might have something else for you to do.
Yeah, good luck.
Because I've worked with them before, and they're very helpful.
Yeah, they're nice.
They don't want to turn out bad product, because they want to keep selling a lot of stuff that they have to get rid of.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, Jared. Thank you for calling. Cliff and Eagle, your turn. Hi, Cliff.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I got a program called iTunes, and it works off with, it's called Easy Converter. And what you do is you put an album on your Easy Converter Ion machine, and you record it. And what happens is, after you're done recording, you got to type in the name of the album and all the songs. And then it's supposed to get imported to iTunes. And it worked fine for the last year and a half, and then I had a lot of these updates that automatically go onto my computer. You know, I believe everyone, I get the right ones. And all of a sudden, it wouldn't let me import my music. Then my son-in-law come over, changed something, and now it's letting me import the music into iTunes. But what happens is, each and every song on the album becomes an album, instead of just letting the whole album record.
Right.
And then it imports the whole album as that.
Right.
Now it's taking each and every song and making it an album.
Right.
And I don't know what to turn off or what to switch.
Yeah, it sounds to me, well, iTunes is always coming out with the updates, and sometimes they're not communicating with the other software companies, and the Easy Converter that you're using is there's something amiss between the two of them. Because, like you said, it's treating each song like an album versus the album is the main group and everything should fit underneath that.
Right. Is there somewhere like on the iTunes or on the Easy Converter where it's like properties and I can go in and say, because I watched my son-in-law. What he did was, there was a thing that said import songs automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And he clicked on that.
Right.
And that's what it's doing, but it's making every song an album.
Right.
It's like, that's not working.
Yeah, I would probably check with the Easy Converter, the software company. They might even have like an FAQ about using their software that might be, an issue, because I'm sure you're not alone.
No.
If you said it stopped working, now all of a sudden you're able to get it to work, but it's not working the way it was. I'm sure if they're still around, that they're probably dealing with it.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with the computer consultant Peter Green about your computer. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Jack in Franklin next. Jack, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello there.
Hi.
I have a question regarding Microsoft Office Suite.
Right.
I use Excel and Word, and that's it.
Okay.
No use for any other parts of it. But I have the impression that I either have to buy the whole thing or I have to rent the whole thing on a monthly basis. And I'm wondering if there are any alternatives, at least to those two programs.
There are. You've got a couple options. One is you can use some online products or services. Google is very popular with that. And you have access to not only that, but a lot more. So if you haven't looked at, you know, setting up a Google account and exploring all their different products and services, that would be a good thing. And if you had things to share with people, you could, you know, share stuff easily. And then I believe Star Office is another alternative.
Yep.
And if you probably did a Google search, you might find even some more alternatives, you know, just what Microsoft Office, you know, free software or, I don't know, compatible.
Google's a good one, though.
Yeah. Right? Google's got a lot going for
it. Yeah.
You know, that's, they talk about Facebook finally being vindicated or validated or whatever, you know, in their space. But Google's been doing a lot of stuff for a very long time. I remember my son graduated within the last couple of years, but for a long time, they were using that, you know, as for classmates on working on projects and stuff, collaborating and making it very easy. People use meeting stuff online, and Google's got stuff for doing meetings online too, and
yep.
working with pictures and. You know, if you're a website owner and you want to work with their AdSense product for stuff, they've got that. And working with pictures, they got they just
lots,
on
lots
and on.
There. So that's what I consider, Jack. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Ed and Lac de Flambeau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. This is Ed's wife, Janine, instead of Ed.
Ah,
okay.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
We have recently upgraded from Leopard to Mountain Lion. Question one, is there an information book we can get about the implications of that change?
Actually, you could probably go to Apple. It would probably have a page that talks about the differences between, you know, the two products.
Okay.
That's almost always with operating system changes, they list the improvements or the differences
yes.
between them.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know if Apple does it, but I know Windows, Microsoft does offer a compatibility test where they actually evaluate the system and go through and give you feedback as to what they see as being issues before you actually do the update. I don't know if
oh.
Apple has does the same thing.
Hmm. Okay, okay. The other thing is I spent a lot of frustrated time yesterday trying to send out a number of emails at the same on the same email.
Okay.
And it just kept refusing me and like picking up five or six addresses all in one and said that that won't go through. And I tried it putting a semicolon in between. I tried putting a space in between each name. And it still refused it.
So kind of it jumbled them all together?
It looks like it, mm-hmm. that they took the entire list and made it into one address and said that it won't go.
Hmm. Well, when I have problems with anything that's related to online, I always test it with myself. So the
yes.
first thing I do is I send a letter to myself. So
yes.
I go to and put myself in there. And
yeah.
I put a little subject test, just simply test if I'm trying to do it real fast. If not, faster, just put the letter T in and just put something in the body, just real simple, and then send it out and see how it goes out.
Yes.
If that works, then...
I tried that.
Did that work?
No.
It didn't work. So then there could be a problem with your email settings with your service provider, in which something happened with your account settings. So what you need to do is you could do one of two things. You could probably go to your service provider's website and see what needs to be done to make sure the setup in your Apple system is correct. Or you could probably call them, and they will step you through what needs to be looked at and maybe changed. Sometimes there are characters or fields that are made blank where they contained information, and usually error messages kind of give away why something isn't going out, you know, where it can't find the server or that address isn't, you know, a valid email because there's an additional character put in. So... if you can't send a test message to yourself, then because it's going to go out to your service provider and it's going to come back, even as simple as just sending it to yourself. And if you can't complete that, then there's something amiss that needs to be fixed and looked at by either you going to the service provider page or you calling them.
Yes. Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Have fun.
Have fun. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest.
You could go, Larry, you could go crazy with some of these computer problems, so you got to have fun with it.
look at it as a puzzle to be solved, a mystery to be solved. Carl in Green Bay. Hi there.
Hey, good morning. I know what you mean about being a puzzle. I'm having fun with one right now.
Let's see if we can help.
I have Netscape, and did they change the font size or something on the screen? Because all of a sudden my letters are larger, and it's just larger. It's not the way it was. So I thought I had a virus, so I went back to an earlier backup, and that seemed to have to fix the problem. Until I turned it off, turned it back on again, I was right back to larger font.
Well, you can change the font size within the options of your browser. So it's not, I think
not
you said,
a big deal.
It's not a big deal. And the other thing is, if you want to do it on the fly, if you have a scroll wheel on your mouse, you can hold the control key down and then use your scroll wheel or a slide pad, and you could slide it back and forth, and you'll actually change the size of your entire web page. So if you want to see something bigger, you can scroll it so it's, you know, hold the control key down and scroll wheel, and you'll make it real big, or you can roll it back and make it real small.
But you can go
but the only thing is I never touched anything, and all of a sudden I've got larger letters, larger font.
Could have been, maybe you did an update, or sometimes these things just, there's just something that goes amiss when... you logged into a web page, and for whatever reason, the code tricked the browser to go some other setting. And if you shut it off and turn it back on, you say it comes back the same way.
Yeah.
I would, you can pry around under, tools and options and preferences, and make changes there, or you can, go online and just. Google a question that, how do I change my font size for my web browser?
Yeah, I should be able to
default,
do that right up
default
on top
font
of
size.
The bar that's up on top. You should be able to go right to that and click on it and change it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck, Carl. Thank you. Eric in Madison. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is very timely for us because we have an older iMac, 6 years old, and we have operating system 10.5.8 on there, and we thought we were going to have to upgrade to 10.6 because we want to run a different printer, get a new printer, and then we changed our mind about the printer. I ordered the upgrade from Apple, and it's coming in the mail, and meanwhile, we changed our mind about the printer, and we found out we don't need to upgrade. It can operate fine on 10.5.8, so I'm concerned about if I should do the upgrade or not in this situation. I'm nervous because of the discussion at the top of the hour about upgrading operating systems causing computers to fail or not work or slow down or things like that.
Yeah, so, the differences between 5.8 and 6, I don't know how much of a difference it is, whether or not it's worth going through that.
Right.
Yeah.
I tend to think it's not worth going through as long as, the computer's working fine. It does actually everything we want to do. And if the new printer works fine, then I don't think I'm going to upgrade.
So. Yeah, I would probably leave it alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Good luck. Thank you very much. Why mess with it?
Why fix with something that works? See, you know, the other thing with the updates and upgrades, not really updates, because those are usually not very big, but upgrades, when you change over from one OS to another, usually they hold back the old OS and, you know, kind of reserve some space for it until you do the full changeover. And then, you know, I haven't really pried under the hood of the smartphones and the iPads, but, you know, the storage capacity is not the same as a desktop. So when you have a desktop computer and you're looking at, let's say, you know, 120, 250 or 500 gig hard drive, and you've got an OS that's installed on that, and then you do an upgrade to the next one, you usually have some spare room. In the smaller devices, you're looking at 16 gigabytes or 32 gigabytes, and I got a lot of stuff on my phone, and I'm near the edge. So, you know, it's like, how much are they really using to hold back when they make that changeover from one OS to the other? I don't know the answer to that question, but I have a feeling they don't really hold back much. You know, on a desktop, you usually have that extra space, and just be aware of your hard drive capacity and installing an upgrade that you need that extra room for when you're doing that upgrade.
Judy in Partyville, your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
I have a question about photos on the computer. I use Windows Photo Gallery, and I just got back from vacation, and I used two different cameras while I was on vacation.
Yep. Okay.
So I downloaded the first chip with the new photos, and I named it, and then I put in the second chip, and I downloaded the new photos from that one, and I named it the same name as the first folder, and then it asked me if I just wanted to combine the two folders, and I said yes, and it did that. It combined the two different folders into the one, but it pulled in some other photos that were on the chip that were previously downloaded. It pulled those into this new folder also, and it does that sometimes, and I was wondering why it would do that.
It's probably just a software glitch. You know, it's just some, you know, they, you know, it could be a bug. You might want to look and, you know, you could probably do a search on Windows Photo Gallery and see if there's a fix to that.
Okay.
I don't know if that would be something they would normally download as part of the operating system fix.
Okay.
Usually they throw in fixes to those when they make a full changeover to the next version of the operating system. Very rarely do you see them offering updates on like Photo Gallery or Paint or Calculator or some of the other, you know, little side things that they throw in. It's pretty rare.
Okay, yeah, because sometimes I notice too, like, I'll look through the folders that have already exist, and I'll click on one, and it'll have maybe like five or six pictures from a folder that already exists on there, and I don't know where that came from, why those five or six pictures were pulled out separately when I didn't, you know, section them out for any reason, but all of a sudden a little smaller subfolder will show up with some of the pictures from another folder.
You might want to take a look at some of the Google products that they have for working for pictures. There's a lot of features there, and it might make it easier for you to keep your stuff organized, too.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep, thanks, Judy. Luck. And Brian and Madison, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
I just was running a couple of errands and heard a number of people calling about software issues, and I work with Linux and open source software, and I just wanted to comment about the fact that there are a number of free alternatives to Office
right.
that have compatibility no compatibility issues anymore because the software has been developed for long enough that you can install it on Windows, you can install it on Apple. So LibreOffice would be one of those. That's a full-powered Office suite that's comparable to Microsoft Word.
Okay.
There are other softwares as well. So, you know, that's like one part of it. Another gentleman was talking about music player importation mm-hmm. issues.
Yep.
And again, because Linux does not have hardware built for it, and because of the challenges of moving files from different operating systems, they've developed a number of really effective file importation and conversion tools. And I didn't listen to enough of the gentleman before that I could reference something specifically, but a Google search of open source software related to the specific task that he's trying to perform would, you know, bring up more than enough options.
Right. Which version of Linux do you use?
I'm sorry?
Which version of Linux do you use?
I mean, right now on my laptop, I have a flavor of Ubuntu called Bodhi Linux, which is a very lightweight operating system. I have an Ubuntu server that's I believe is 10.4. So I use that for a home server, and then I have an email thing going on that. And then typically what I do with it, because I do other work for money, but I'm kind of a computer geek, and I love the fact that many of these open source operating systems, Linux-based operating systems, perform at really high levels with very archaic hardware. So I often get hand-me-down computers and then install a lightweight operating system like Bodhi Linux, which is why I'm using that right now to learn it better. And then that computer typically performs almost comparable to something that's pretty brand new. And then I can, you know, sell that for $25 or give it away to someone who, you know, previously did not have a machine. So for all the people who are looking at upgrading their computer or thinking about how to deal with some of these issues regarding the rate of technological innovation, Linux is an opportunity to, you know, pay less and mm-hmm. have similar
outcomes. Yeah. Thanks for your comment, Pete.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Brian, and I'm sure there'll be people looking into that.
It's also the underlying, you know, Linux, which its roots are from AT&T's Unix. It's the same thing that when Apple switched over to the Intel chip, they also moved their operating system to the basis of using Unix, and that's why the speed is there. So Apple has the speed, Linux has the speed, but Apple charges a premium price for their hardware versus, you know, the older machines that work with Linux outperform newer machines because they're leaner and meaner in terms of the operating system. And, you know, unfortunately, OS 2, I had an opportunity to work with that, but unfortunately, OS 2 basically came on the scene and didn't do very well, but that was a very bulletproof operating system.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's still used in voicemail systems in larger installations, and where that ended up. But I also know the Citrix team for a lot of the remote computer use came from the OS 2. So there are a lot of good underlying things, and Linux performs well. And you know, there are a lot of solutions out there, and if you want to take the time, you know, research it online, and you'll find a lot of different versions of Linux out there, too. That's why I asked the question about Ubuntu, because that's a more popular one.
And thanks again, Brian. Ken emailed us in Steuben, said, I'm running Windows Vista, recently cannot download certain documents, such as my bank statements. A new page will open, but I just get a small black box with an X in it in the upper left corner of the page. I have deleted and reinstalled Adobe, and this didn't help. I'm able to download some documents, but on others I get this X. I have the compatibility view set to allow all documents, and allowing pop-ups does not help.
Sounds like something needs to be reinstalled.
Yeah.
Either Flash or Silverlight. You know, it sounds like there's a plugin that needs to be reinstalled that's not hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah. So do a reinstall.
Yeah, I would. That's what I would do.
All right.
I mean, I've had problems with online stuff, and it seems like either updating or reinstalling some of the plugins make those things work.
And Tad in Appleton has a Dell XPS M140, loves this old machine. Would it pay to upgrade to a solid-state drive? And if so, what would you recommend?
Solid-state drive will make it faster in terms of loading the operating system and access to your data. Cost of those drives has come down quite a bit. I would look at something that's probably got higher than 200 millisecond read write times. You get better performance when you're north of that number. There are a number of companies out there. OCZ Technology makes them. Kingston, SanDisk, Crucial. So there are a lot of options. I'm not sure if Dell private labels their own or HP does, but. And look for the review. Look at the reviews. When you go searching for them, there are a number of places online. You can look at Tiger.com and Buy.com and Office Max and Office Depot and Staples. They all have them. Check out the reviews. See what people think of them.
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest as we talk computers and software with him. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your computer with Peter Green of Infostar.com, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening in today. I really appreciate it. Join in at 800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a photo, question, or comment. Well, you can post a photo there as well. Love to hear from you. Tom in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I have a problem. When I go to, I'm using Windows 7 on an HP, and the scroll does not hold. If you go to a page, or say you go to Yahoo or MSN or something else, and all of a sudden it starts moving up and down all by itself. And I've switched the mouse, I've used a remote mouse, and it has the same effect. And I can't find anything. I've gone through the everything from error reports to everything else, and I can't find anything in there about this.
So it just keeps moving.
Yep. It'll go up, it'll go down.
Man.
It's freelancing all by itself.
And you've changed the mouse and you've put in even a wireless one?
Yeah, I tried a wireless one and I had the same thing happened.
So it's like drifting.
Yep. Doesn't hold.
Have you tried, you might, for whatever reason, it might be worth trying in Windows. If you go to a command prompt, you can type in SFC space / scan now, SCANNOW, and that will go through and do a scan of the operating system and check all the files and make sure they're all intact.
I did that.
You did that. Yeah. It's still the same result.
Yep, scanned the files. It couldn't detect anything. The only thing it did do, it tossed out two updates that just came through from Windows.
So how long have you noticed the problem?
Just for the last three, four days.
Yeah. Do you have a restore where you could go back prior to that?
I tried that, and I went back a week, and at first it worked fine, and then all of a sudden it came back again.
Have you are you using a USB mouse? You said you use the remote.
Yes, yeah.
Are you going off of the same port each time?
Yeah.
You might want to change the port.
Well, the port's in the back. There's, you mean the
I mean, if you're right, using the same port and you've tried the same port on each in each case.
Yes. But what about the remote, though?
Did you use when you used the remote? Was it off of the same port?
It was not a port. It was remote.
Right, but didn't you have a USB receiver coming off of it?
You didn't have a receiver.
That must have been built in.
No, you got to have a receiver on the computer to do it.
Oh, well, I must have one then.
Yeah, so did you plug it into
the
same
port?
So I'm just trying to eliminate.
No, for the remote, I didn't have to plug it in at all.
There's got to.
I took the remote off of. I have a remote for a laptop. Mm-hmm. And I just brought that over there, and I turned it on, and it worked. So the computer must be set up for that.
Well, I would do a Google search on drifting scroll mouse Windows and see if there's anyone has a suggestion.
Yeah,
for
we've
that.
Pretty much gone through every option, and it sounds like you've done everything. I mean, it's other than try a different port,
right?
So you might want to give that a try, Tom, and see what happens. Worth a try.
Yep.
Worth a try. Deb and Sturtevant, your turn. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I have an older Toshiba laptop that only had a 75-gig hard drive.
Okay.
And, of course, it's very full now.
Yep.
Is there a way, like, could I back that whole thing up to an external hard drive? Because I'm always afraid of deleting the wrong things to free up space. And then just start deleting programs and maybe free some space up that way?
You can do that. Which version of the operating system are you using?
That one's got Vista.
Vista, okay. A couple of things you can do also to free up some space. The system restore is by default using 12% of your hard drive space. So you can go into System Tools, System Restore, and then change the settings in there and probably knock it down to maybe 1% of your drive. And then also your recycle bin by default is probably taking up 10% of your drive. So you'd right mouse click on the recycle bin, click on properties, and then resize it to probably like maybe 250 meg would probably be just fine.
You suddenly have a lot more.
Then you'll gain some more space, but you can also get an external drive and backup stuff to it as well.
Yeah, because I usually have a lot of photo files, but I've taken them all off, but I still only have like 5 gigs left to play with, which really makes everything run slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you gain back, let's say, can be conservative and gain back maybe 18% of that drive, you're going to be gaining maybe about 12 gigabytes of space if you change those settings, which will make it work a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick in South Range. Hi, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for the program.
Sure.
We have, my wife and I have always used a couple of cameras when we've gone on vacation, but they've always been the same brand, at least Canons. And when we come home, we put them into one file, call it vacation, one folder, excuse me, and then we ask it to sort by date taken, and it's always worked seamlessly. But recently we have been using for a second camera an iPhone 5, and it's not so... It's not conducive to that request to sort by date taken. It'll sort only by camera taken on. They'll be in order, but the iPhone pictures will be first, and the Canon pictures will be second. And to integrate them, it's just a lot of work. I have to rename every one of the iPhone pictures something else, like numerically similar to when I believe it was taken to another photo. But it's just not easy. You know a solution to that dilemma?
I would probably look at... So you want to sort it by date, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I want the photos to be sequential by date.
And what software are you using on your machine?
Just Windows 7.
Windows 7. Again, I would probably point you to Google and take a look at their picture products. They have, was it Picasa? And they have another one that you can probably use to better organize your pictures and work with them.
I think I do have Picasa on the computer.
Yeah.
Use that as opposed to the Windows 7 software.
Right, yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I know on Macs there's iPhoto, which helps you organize it. And in the new iOS 7 on your phone, if you use the photo part versus going to look at your pictures through your photo gallery in the camera, you will actually see your picture. You could have your pictures organized by date there.
Yep. Yep.
What is that called in iOS 7?
In iOS 7, it's just your photos. In other words, the organization of your photos in your iPhone, you can, there are a number of different ways to organize it. My daughter pointed this out to me last night at dinner, was that, Dad, look at your pictures by date, you know, because I have like a couple thousand pictures on my iPhone. And she had hers organized by, like, location, because she wanted it based on where she had been, versus mine was by date. But it's through the photo part of your operating system, that application, versus your camera where you take the pictures. It's two different areas.
Yep.
I'll give that a try. Thanks. Yep.
All right.
Good luck.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Don in Portage. Hi.
Yeah, hi there. See, I got an XP program, but I have a problem that has two aspects, or maybe just one interconnected. Starting out with, I'm not able to access my shortcuts on my desktop unless they've been programmed, loaded directly into the PC. And the other problem that may go along with that is I can't open any of the attachments to my emails.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, not opening attachments to emails could be a number of things. One, it could be if you have an antivirus program on it, they could be acting as a roadblock to that, where you might have to lighten up or make some changes to the settings or options. The other thing is not being able to see your attachments could also be an effect. Made changes in your the software you're using to look at the email. So if you're using like Outlook Express, you'd have to go into options and take a look and make some changes there. There might have been if you applied an update. Sometimes these updates make changes that you don't want made because they call them security breaches or security updates. Not able to access your shortcuts from your desktop. So when you click on one of your shortcuts, it's not actually working. It's disconnected or it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it just doesn't do anything. You know,
it just doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
No.
Hmm.
We may be stumped here.
Well... XP's got a restore, so if you've noticed this recently, you could actually try and do a restore and see if that fixes it. If it's been going on for a long time, then the likelihood of getting it back is less and less.
Yeah.
Usually having shortcuts that don't work are because programs have been uninstalled or moved. So if anything's changed that's not allowing those shortcuts to work, that's where I would look for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you click on a shortcut, it usually comes up and says, you know, it can't do it, or it may flash and the program's doesn't work. That means something's moved or the application has got a problem with it, which could point to a problem with the hard drive. Because if all of a sudden you're clicking on, let's say, Microsoft Word, and the shortcut just kind of blinks at you,
yeah,
and it's not running, then the application is having a problem, the Word application, which could mean that there could possibly be a problem with the hard drive.
There you go.
And you said it was Windows XP and an older system. You might want to heed this as kind of like a warning that certain things are starting to fail, and you may want to make sure that your data is backed up so that you can restore it to another system if you have to.
Absolutely. Good luck. Thank you for calling. We had a Facebook question from Juan. Has Dell resolved its quality problems. We bought two Inspiron laptops in the last 4 years, and after 2 years, they both started having serious hardware issues.
Great question. Couple of answers. One is there was an acknowledgement by Dell, I believe in a lawsuit within the last year or so that, or two, that there were problems, and they paid up for that, for quality problems. But the other thing is that Michael Dell, I believe with an investment group, has purchased back Dell to make it a private company. So that's one of the reasons why, is to improve upon his legacy.
Yeah, the quality issues are hopefully getting better.
Right.
Yeah. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30. If you have a question, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Peter right after this look at the news. Stay with us. With so many of us using computers every day at home or work or both, you rely on them a lot. I certainly do. And you and I rely on Peter Green as well. Pete's an independent computer consultant, comes by the first Monday of every month to help us with our computer problems. And Peter, thanks again for spending time with us.
Always great, Larry.
And at this time of the show, we always have, you always have a top 10 list of great sites.
Not going to let you down.
Good.
So if you go to Infostar.com, and on the top left side, you've got top 10 archives, or click on current top 10. The archive scroll to today's date, current top 10 will take you right to the page. The first one is called insulate.org, and it's the Insulation Contractors Association of America. Just a lot of great stuff there if you're looking at getting your house all squared away for the winter time, and it is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Number two, industrytap.com, an industry news in a variety of industries, architectural, automotive, aviation, construction, and more. With what's going on with the federal government and the new Affordable Care Act, or ACA, which translates also to Obamacare, is ObamacareFacts.com. And there's also a link there to the health insurance marketplace that you need to know about as well to see what your options are. Number four is called Recovery.gov. And it's a federal government resource that shows us, the American public, I say us, the American public, how recovery funds are being spent by recipients of contracts, grants, loans, and the distribution of the entitlements and tax benefits. And it's pretty eye-opening. I mean, it covers the whole country, so you can go there and just see what's going on with it. Number five, very interesting in terms of learning about the human body. It's called innerbody.com, and it just explores this. Hundreds of interactive anatomy pictures, descriptions, and you know, if you're doing biology, med student, I invite you to check that out. Number six is called psychforums.com. It's a psychology and mental health forums on a wide variety of topics, very insightful. Number seven, they claim to be the number one do-it-yourself home improvement resource, and I've recently been looking at them for checking out a variety of things for like spraying texture and spraying paint and stuff like that. It's called familyhandyman.com. Number eight is a news and entertainment and celebrity gossip and technology news site, and it's called heavy.com. So heavy on the news, heavy on the gossip.
Okay.
Number nine is called Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R.com, and they've got millions and millions of blogs that they have allowed people to create. I do not have any experience with this, but it is a resource to create your own weblog where you can just write about your favorite things and tell the world about it. And the last one is a resource for moms or moms-to-be, and it's called Cafe Mom, and it claims to be a meeting place for them, and articles and lots of good information to check out.
Very good, Pete. And again, back to Infostar.com and go to the current, top 10 list. And
current top 10, and they're all there.
Lynn in Rushford has a question for you. So let's go to Lynn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
I have an Inspiron 1100. It's a 2003 model. It lately it has been when I go to check my email, I can get into my email, I can read what's been sent, but if I try to answer, just keeps coming up and typing into the space. And
so the letter A just keeps repeating.
Yeah. Yep. And when I go to look up, you know, something on a web page or whatever, that A can interfere with, you know, typing in what you want to look up. So took it to a repair person,
mm-hmm.
and they thought it might be a keyboard issue.
Right.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, if it's occurring in multiple spots and it's the same character, what I've done in the past, and you have to be careful with this, is the depending upon the how the keyboard's built, but the ones that I've tried, you can use a very thin screwdriver and pop it up. But I would probably take it to a repair place and have them take a look at it. Most of the time they're probably going to say, well, you need to replace the keyboard. But yeah. it's one character, and it's almost like, well, if you're going to replace the keyboard, can you take the chance of maybe trying to fix the one key by popping it off and see if you can pop it back in and see if that works? The other problem could be is that something's happened with the contact in that area. But more than likely, the spring mechanism is got a glitch in it, and you know, yep. that's where the multiple contacts are coming from. So your one option is they're going to want to replace the keyboard. The other is, well, why not take a chance at trying to fix the key, popping it off, and see if you can pop it back in.
Mm-hmm.
A third option might be that you could find a replacement part on eBay, because you said it was a 2003 model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You might be able to go on eBay and plug in your keyboard, and you might actually be able to buy the actual piece that you need. But then make sure you find the instructions either online or through that vendor, how to actually replace the keyboard. And the keyboard is typically plugged in with some kind of very thin cable. Mm-hmm. It's making a connection to the system board somewhere. So you need the instructions on how to, you know, open up the laptop to be able to replace that keyboard. Some are easy and some are a little bit more challenging. So I'm just making you aware that, you know, what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Good luck. Thanks, Lynn, for calling. And Joanna in Cuba City, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. First, I just wanted to say I love your program, and I always learn something.
Thank you.
I have an old computer. It's got Windows XP. I've been going to get a new computer, but right now is like my busy time of the year, so I'm kind of waiting for after the holidays, I'll have more time, and I figure that's probably the best time to look into a new computer anyway. But when I open up my computer now, just when I turn it on, I almost always get this security alert that says this page requires a secure connection, which includes server authentication. The certificate issuer for this site is untrusted or unknown. Do you wish to proceed? Now, I haven't opened anything. I've just turned my computer on, so...
Hmm.
I have no idea where this is coming from.
So you just turn your computer on, and that's after you get to your desktop, that's the message you're getting?
Yeah.
not even with the browser open?
No, nothing open.
Hmm. What I would probably do is go into the startup in your system and see if there's something turned on that is, you know, just making that request. It's like it's trying to go out to the internet and making a request and then coming back with this is what it's found. And you can probably turn that off. So if you go to click on, you're using XP, right?
Yeah.
So if you click on start and then go in your search box and type in MSConfig. So that stands for Microsoft Config. So it's an abbreviation for that. So you hit the Enter key and then go to the Startup tab. And what I would do is there are a whole bunch of check boxes, and they'll have checks in them or they won't, because there might be some that were turned off for whatever reason. Just write them down what they are. So give them something you can identify with, you know, on a piece of paper, so that you, when you uncheck them, if for some reason something doesn't work the way it was before, you know, you can go back and add the checks in. Just keep track of that, because some of this stuff is trial and error. And there are not many things that you need in that. So the ones that you do need would be like antivirus. Uh-huh. So if you're using, I don't know what you're using, but you'll probably see the name in the line. Uh-huh. And it'll be, have a check next to it. So that would be one that you would typically want to leave in place. The ones that you want to turn off are the ones that don't look like they belong, or they're a weird name, and you can add them back after you reboot the system if something's not working properly.
Yep. There you go.
Okay. I've also had a problem, and I had kind of forgotten about that because it hasn't happened in a while, but it's the guy with the mouse issue. Sometimes my mouse will just, and this has kind of started about the same time as this little message, where it just will go and open up all these things that I have, and it's like I have no control over it. It'll go to the start menu and just open up a bunch of different windows. And I mean, if I go to, I mean, I can go like Control Alt Delete, then it'll open up that little thing and show all the open programs. And if I go in and say, you know, close, then it'll work again. But it's very odd.
Yeah, I would look at the MS config and probably disable some of the things that are starting up, because I'm not saying your system has been hijacked, but it sounds like there's something on your got onto your computer that you don't need there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are you using any kind of malware or something to scan your system?
Well, yeah, I have SpyBot.
I would,
and I also use that. Oh, I did do download that the Puriform. C
Cleaner. Yeah. I would probably take a look at Malware Bytes, and run
Malware Bytes, like
BYTES, malware, and then BYTES, and I would probably run a scan on your system.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Thank you for calling.
And always keep them up to date, because you can run scans, and if you're not up to date and something got through, then you can also run into problems too.
Peter in Milwaukee. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a Windows XP, and it was running slow, so I took it into a computer shop, and they replaced my hard drive. And I asked them to save my data, and when I got home, I can't find my pictures. When I click on pictures, they're not there. I know they're there, but I'm not sure where. And then they also took off my little green tent, which is, I think, my antivirus. And then that's another question I have. But do you know where my pictures could be?
They're going to be in a folder. So pictures are typically .jpg. So you could use Windows Explorer and do a search on star.jpg. And all the picture files are going to show up. If
I'm writing this down here. Star.
So Shift 8 key gives you that little star, and then a period, and then JPG. So that stands for JPEG, because that's what the picture files are typically, the extension. So when you do a search, it'll look through your computer for all the files that end in .jpg.
All right.
So they may put them in a folder that you just aren't, you know, you could either pry around and look in all your folders, or you could do that search and find them.
Okay, and then my green tent's gone. Do you know how I can get it back?
When you say green, when you say green tent, are you talking about like antivirus protection?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just really depends on whether or not you had a license to use a product, or you could go online and download AVG, Avast. I think there's House Call. There are a number of different ones out there that you could download and install for free to use.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And Jesus in Whitewater, thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Pete. Calling because I had a Windows XP computer. It was a HP Pavilion, and the I guess the display went out, like with a reconnect the VGA cord.
Okay.
And I took it in, and they told me I might need a new video display, or video card, sorry.
Okay.
But I went ahead and just bought a new PC.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, is there a way I can get the pictures back from that hard drive without having to buy a whole new video card?
Yeah, probably the best option I would say for you. How old is the computer that it's coming from?
2007.
So, do you remember how big the hard drive was?
It wasn't that big. I think it was like 250 gigs.
Either way, what I would do is I would exercise, as in remove, the hard drive from that old computer and look at the connectors that you have on it. If it's got a whole bunch of pins on it, like a double row of pins of, like, let's say 40 pins.
Right.
Or 38 pins. That's an IDE drive. Okay? If it's a drive that has connectors on it that are, maybe an inch in width and flat with, like, a little L on the end, a little... something that points north or south, however you want to call it. So it's like, looks like a little L on the end. That's an SATA drive. So that's a newer, more recent technology. But either way, you can buy a kit that will allow you to hook up that drive and hook it up externally to your new computer.
Okay.
And then it'll power that drive, and then you can hook it up to your new computer, and then you can browse that drive and grab whatever you need.
Okay. Is there, any certain brand or, that has a kit?
Rocketfish is real popular. They have them in stores. I've seen them sold, at the different places, Office Depot, Staples, and Best Buy. You can also go online. I know eBay sells a lot of the kits, and the other places, Tiger and Buy, they all do. Because if you have to buy a video card, you're still stuck with having to hook up to that computer to move the files off. So you might as well just buy a kit that's probably going to cost you less than the card.
Right.
But you have to go through the effort to take it out of the machine. So if you haven't done it before, see if you can hook up with a friend that, a friend that knows how to do some of that stuff or has tried it, and just do it carefully.
Yep.
Okay.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling.
Take pictures too. I always take pictures of, if I ever need to hook things back up the way they were.
Yeah.
I used to sketch things out and take notes. Now I just take pictures and blow them up if I need them.
There you go. Thanks again, Jesus, for calling. Appreciate it. Paul emailed us about the caller who was trying to integrate iPhone and camera photos chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, look for a utility that renames photos based on the date information that you find within the the metadata that the camera includes with each picture.
Mm-hmm.
And on Windows, one longstanding tried and true photo utility is IR FanView. It's developed by an engineering student in Australia. Yeah. And some of its controls are not the most intuitive, but if you try IR FanView, look for batch renaming.
Yep, I've used that. Yep, that works.
And make sure that the clock on the Canon camera is set to the correct time. iPhone does that automatic, but not Canon. So
right.
You have to make sure. So just
great suggestions. Comments.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gary and Marshall, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've got two identical laptops in that, and I'm going wireless. I run XP Professional on both in that, and one of them developed a problem on going wireless that it came up with the router setup screen like you get if you type in the router address, and that screen comes up, and you can't go any further. It does that every time you try... Going online and going addressing.
So it won't allow you to hook up wireless?
You can't hook up wireless. You can go direct to the back of the router and it works fine.
Right.
And now It did that one time, and I did a recover on it. It did come back, and it worked for a while, and then it showed up again.
The only thing I could suggest are two things. One is to try and see if you can do an update to the driver for the wireless in that laptop. I've seen that fix the problem. And the other one is probably to just get another USB wireless hookup and see if that works. Because sometimes the wireless adapters in the laptops go flaky and you need to just use an alternative.
Yeah, so there you go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. We had an email from Julie. A friend's daughter has a Toshiba laptop with Windows 7 operating system. She's forgotten the administrator password. The guest account is accessible. Her father has called Toshiba tech support. Didn't get the problem solved. Any ideas?
Yeah, if you go to my website, infostar.com, and then on the left side is Virus Info Center page, there are emergency utilities. In the middle, I think there's one called eBrunt and EBCD, and you actually have to download the software and burn a disk, and then you reboot the computer that you have a problem with, and it'll ask you to one of the things is the act of resetting the password.
Oh, so you can just reset the...
Right, you can reset the admin password.
Okay, so it can be done.
It can be done. And you could Google search what I told you, but I put the links up there. I think it's called eBrunt, and the other one I know that I've used a lot. I carry them around with me in case I ever have to, and I always say it's going to cost you. But EBCD, I believe, is one. But you have to download an ISO file and then burn that file to a CD.
And then you put the CD in.
A disk. And then put the disk in and reboot your machine. And it'll ask you if you want to boot from the disk, and you hit the key, and it boots up from the disk, and then it comes up with a menu I forgot the operating system it comes up in, but it's not Windows because it needs to do its thing.
Pete, I'm sure you made somebody very happy there with that suggestion. Thanks so much for being with us. You'll be back the first Monday of next month.
I think it's November 4th, something like
November
that.
November 4th.
Yeah. Yes,
thanks,
I will.
Pete.
Thanks.
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest, and he'll be back on Monday, November 4th. Tomorrow, Dr. Sandy Sawchuk is with us to talk about your pet's health. So certainly we're going to look forward to that. She's going to talk about how to choose the right companion for you. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.